Good, good, there I am. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see some faces I haven't seen for a while. Very nice. So hopefully everybody got their fill of Thanksgiving turkey and all the other good stuff that makes Thanksgiving so much fun. Jim and Lori are on their way back from Thanksgiving with their parents right now from Michigan. And then on to tomorrow morning, they're on to a retreat in Texas, a special pastor's Sabbath retreat that the Vineyard offers. So if you would, you know, if you're in the next 10 days, please pray for them as they're there. We're expecting God to do a lot of wonderful things because he's faithful. And next week, Bob Christman will be filling in, so you can look forward to that. We always like to hear from Bob. It's always very good, so please prepare to join us for that. We are actually starting a new series today. Surprise, surprise. Moving into the Christmas season. It's called Jesus, Light of the World. So you'll be hearing a lot about that light and what that light is and does. In the Christian community, in the faith community, you're also, by the way, going to be a guinea pig for me today. And I can see right now it's not working. I'm using my iPad for the first time, so I warned her she might be running up here with the notes if I need it. But anyways, in the faith community, this season leading up to Christmas is known as Advent. As Angie mentioned, the Advent pamphlets, and really what that is, maybe more of you are familiar with the term Lent. Lent is that season leading up to Easter. And Jesus' death and resurrection. And Advent is again, both of them mean more or less a time of preparation. For Christmas, it's a time of preparation for Jesus' coming. When he was first came to earth as a baby. And so here we are in this beginning of the Christmas season. And it's really important because, you know, we can easily get all caught up in some of the things that aren't really what Christmas is all about, right? If we're not careful, it can really become something that it was never intended to become. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. In fact, if you think about it, a time of preparation, there's not a whole lot that we do in life that we don't take time to prepare. I mean, from the simplest things like going to work in the morning, we prepare. Some of you may prepare more than others. Maybe you think about what you're going to wear the night before. Like me, if you're like me, you wait until the last minute, and then you're kind of, oh, that's dirty, I can't wear that. but anyways, you know, there's different levels of preparations for different things. But I think unless you are one kind of the very minor few, you know what it's like to prepare for something, right? You know what it's like to prepare for a vacation. Great example. I get accused of doing too much preparation for vacation. But you know what? I think it's because it's not that I want to follow a certain plan every day, but I want to know, you know, what's there so that when we're there, we don't spend all the time trying to figure out what to do. We know what the options are, and we have a plan if we want to follow it, and if we don't, if it's something else, then we know what else is available. So there are certain benefits, and maybe it's just common sense to realize that preparation can allow you to have just a freedom to do more things, a freedom to relax and enjoy what God has prepared for you, no matter what it is you're doing. I mean, heaven forbid that you know, can you imagine a wedding that didn't have any preparation? I mean, even just to know who's supposed to do what when, you know? I mean, just minimal preparation is usually a very good thing. Well, the text in our Bible today is part of the account of what God did for the people of that day in preparation for Jesus coming to this earth. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn, otherwise it'll be on the screen, but we will be in Luke 1, 5 through 25, and let me just pray and ask the Lord to bless this. Father, I do just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would put power on your word today. I pray that you would have your way in people's hearts and people's ears. I pray that that it's not my words that come, but yours, Lord. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Luke, okay, now I get to switch. Either that or I will be reading from the screen. Okay. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown me favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Thank you for your word, Lord. On the surface, I think that this sounds like an interesting little story, that God is going to do this amazing thing for this couple that has waited so long. But there's just a ton of stuff to understand. There's so many cool things in this story to grab hold of if we can. You see, you have to understand a little bit about where the people of God were at this period of time. They had not heard from God for over 400 years. Not an angel, not a prophet, not a king. There was no messenger from God for over 400 years. He had not directly spoken to his people. And yet, there they were, waiting for what God had said would happen. It'd be like looking back 5 generations. Most of us are lucky if we knew our great-grandparents or even know who they were, great-great-grandparents and where they were from. But 5 generations, that's a long time. It's like going back to the 1600s today. It's a long time. Can you imagine waiting to hear from God again for all those generations and to hear from your parents and your grandparents that nothing has been spoken since then? That would be pretty tough. But here is Zechariah doing his priestly duties because that's what you do when you're faithful and righteous. You continue to do what you've been asked to do. You follow the routines that have been set up generation to generation. You don't stop when you're faithful and righteous just because you haven't heard what you wanted to hear. Nothing's happened when you thought it should. The very last word from God that they had had from from the prophet Malachi was that someone would be sent like the prophet Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord. That someone would be sent before the Savior of the world would come to prepare the hearts of the people, to turn the father's hearts back to their children, the children back to the father, and most importantly, the hearts of the people, the disobedient people, back to God. That would happen. And yet, for 400 years, it hadn't happened. I can imagine that after 400 years, many of the religious folks of the day might have forgotten why they were even doing what they were doing. That there was this routine, and that there was this thing that they did, and that many may have even forgotten why in the world they would be doing such a thing. They looked around and they saw a government that was completely corrupt. There are so many manuscripts and books that talk about the times of that era that actually say, you know, the government was corrupt, the religious community was so corrupt. So much was going on that, you know, I can imagine many would have said, there's no way a Savior can redeem any of this. And if you think about it, it's not unlike how you might feel today, how you might relate today, that there's no way. We look around at our culture, we look around at our government, we look around at our religious communities, and we think, how in the world is God going to redeem any of this? One of the most important parts of this passage, I think, is to realize that being faithful means staying the course even when there are no signs that things are going to work out the way we thought they would. Being faithful means that you stay the course even when there are no signs that things are going to work out the way you think they should. The way you thought God spoke they were going to happen. And it's not about just doing a routine over and over because that's what you do. But like Zechariah, it said he was faithful and righteous. He hadn't forgotten why he was doing what he was doing. It wasn't just ritual for him. He was doing it because that was what he was supposed to do. It was his preparation. And for Zechariah, this week was actually very unique. It wasn't just run-of-the-mill for Zechariah. Because while he came in the line of Aaron, he was one of the priestly divisions. That priestly division only served God each year in the temple twice, 2 weeks out of every year. But he easily could have been one of the priests that never got to go into the temple. And yet, this week, he was chosen by lot, by gambling. I don't know if they did straws, he got the long straw or the short straw, or how they did it, but it was simply by chance, except for we know it wasn't by chance. But it was an absolute honor. It was an absolute, this was totally something that would be out of the ordinary for Zechariah. It would make his week very different from any other week. And here he was, going into the temple, burning incense, just outside the area known as the Holy of Holies. And Luke makes it a point to say that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had followed all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They were upright in the eyes of God. And yet here they were, a childless couple. In those days, being childless pretty much meant something wasn't right. You know, I mean, I don't mean that physically, but that there had been sin in the lives of that couple, and that's why God hadn't blessed them. That was the common thought of that day. Children were a blessing. You didn't get them, meant God didn't want to bless you for some reason. And yet, Luke makes a point in his retelling of the story that was not the case here. They were upright and righteous in the eyes of God. And I think even as you kind of have a sense about Zechariah going into the temple and lighting the incense, you sense, well, he must have come to some sort of peace about it. And then the funniest thing happens. An angel comes out and says, your prayer's been answered. And Zechariah says, well, how do I really know that's going to happen? The angel of the Lord is standing in front of him and he questions that God has answered his prayer. You really have to believe that God has a sense of humor. I see a few people chuckling. I mean, can you imagine? The angel of the Lord says, your prayer is answered. Well, how am I really going to know that this is the case? God really does have a sense of humor. And of course, we know the end of this encounter, that because of his skepticism, you know, God just says, okay, you get to zip it. Another point, knowing God has a sense of humor. Can you imagine if you couldn't speak for 9 months? And I don't think back in that day it was necessarily given that he could write stuff out, that he had the skills to write out what had happened. He had to try to act it out. And, you know, clearly this was another part of God's preparation for Zechariah. I'm sure that Elizabeth and Zechariah felt completely abandoned by God. For whatever reason, no matter how faithful they had been, God hadn't chosen up to that point to answer their prayer. And I think, you know, whether it's when we're waiting for, you know, I know many couples in this church have had this kind of sense that, you know, or situation where they've not been able to have children either ever or for a period of time. You know what it's like to want something so desperately. You're single and you're waiting for that person that God has for you, and you're waiting and waiting and saying, why? You expect something to happen in high school and it never happens. You don't win the big football game. You don't get into the college you wanted to get into. You don't get the job you thought was always there for you and you were going to have. We've all had those times, haven't we, of just being so perplexed by why God hasn't answered our prayers. While God is preparing us, while God is saying, not right now, is not answering our prayers, it is a time of preparation for us. And we have a choice. We can either participate in whatever God wants us to learn during that time, or we can decide we're going to not trust God, we're going to do things our way, we're going to make things happen because we want what we want when we want it. We have that choice, don't we? And we can choose either like Zechariah to be faithful, to know that for whatever God's purpose is, he's got a plan in all of this. He's doing something. We don't understand why. We have a choice to be faithful and keep doing the things that we know we're to do as preparation for whatever God has for us. Or we can turn, we can reject him, we can take matters into our own hands. I know a lot of people that have taken matters into their own hands and then wondered why things were turning out the way they were turning out. In some respects, God certainly was disciplining Zechariah, but by not allowing him to speak for 9 months, but really that wasn't such a terrible consequence. In a lot of ways, it could have been a lot worse. And I do think it was yet another opportunity for God to prepare Zechariah for what his role in this was going to be. He was not going to be a father that would have a doting son, that would be there for him, that would take care of him in his old age. He was preparing Zechariah to know that this child that he would father would be somebody very special. that he would have a plan for his life and it would be unusual, and he better get ready. He better be ready to let that child go and do what God had called him to do. So I imagine during that 9 months, he had plenty of time to think about exactly what that angel said to him and to get it straight in his heart and be ready. After 400 years of darkness, God was about to reveal his glory. And we think, as we wait and we pray for something, and a week goes by and it doesn't happen, and a month goes by and it doesn't happen, and a year goes by and it doesn't happen, and 10 years goes by and it doesn't happen, and we think, God isn't there. God doesn't love me. And the reality is, he's preparing. He's preparing you. He may be preparing other things for exactly what he wants to happen, and his timing is perfect. He is never late. He is always on time. We think our timing is so much better than his, don't we? And I think there's three things for us that he's preparing us for in this season of time as we lead up to Christmas that we can take away from this. Clearly, during this time, he wants us to prepare for this wonderful celebration we do every year called Christmas, remembering the birth of Jesus. Clearly, he wants us to remember and prepare our mind for it in a way that will help us appreciate it. How many of us get through Christmas and think, what was that all about? Wow, it was nothing but rushing. It was nothing but hurrying from one place to another. And we can get so caught up in all the trappings and commercialism and whatnot. I mean, even the family stuff, as wonderful as it is to gather with family and to make this a family time of the year, that's not why Jesus came to this earth. That's not what we're celebrating. We aren't celebrating family. But it's a wonderful way to gather together and celebrate the birth of Christ and to remember what really happened. How will you this year prepare your heart, prepare your attitude to really understand and appreciate this season for what it is and not get caught up in all of that stuff? What will you do? Will you do anything different? Will you intentionally try to refocus yourself in a way that really helps you to understand what happened? I mean, maybe getting that Advent book and making a point of reading it each morning, sharing that time with your kids. Maybe it's going to be taking a card, a tag from the angel tree when you've not done it before, and going out of your way to do something outside of your family. Blessing somebody else that doesn't have the ability to do something nice for their kids. Maybe it'll be spending time in God's Word, understanding more of who He is. Perhaps you're one of the many people, and there are many people that actually dread this time of year. They dread it. And for lots of different reasons, I'm sure. Maybe because, you know you get caught up and it just seems like it just becomes all about something that it's not. I was talking to somebody last week right before Thanksgiving, and we were both agreeing that, Thanksgiving's wonderful because usually it doesn't get sidetracked. It doesn't get confiscated by something else and commercialized, and it really is a time to just be thankful, and it's I don't know, more precious somehow. And Christmas always seems to get confiscated by something else, by our busyness. It doesn't have to. Sometimes it's just difficult because we don't have family. We've lost somebody near to us. There's trials and there's sicknesses, and we don't understand why things have happened. Maybe you're one that have recently been through a divorce or going through a divorce, and it's just a very difficult time to think about how am I going to get through this holiday when it's going to be so different from anything I've experienced before. It can be very, very difficult. Which is why I think the second thing God wants to prepare us for, to remind us of, to help us focus on, is that this time is also about preparing us for what He has for us in His kingdom today. We don't live life, we aren't here on this planet just for ourselves. We aren't here to just figure out how to have a good life and have it be all about us and have it be, you know, something that, okay, we're good. God actually has a purpose for you right now, even if you've just lost a loved one. And you say, Nancy, I don't know how He can use any of this sorrow that's in my life for anything good. It just doesn't compute. I just can't get past it. And if it is that kind of overwhelming grief that you're experiencing, the loss of a loved one, perhaps, just perhaps, God wants you to realize that you have put just a little bit too much responsibility for your happiness and your joy and your purpose in life on that loved one. I know that can be hard to hear. But maybe you've put too much on that person. Maybe even in your own marriage or your own family, you put too much on that expectation of what they are supposed to provide to you in your life to make you happy. That person will always be very special. We're not talking about that. But they were never intended to be your source of security, your source of joy, your source of identity. That only comes from Jesus. That only comes from God. And too often, we put way too much responsibility for that joy and that security and that happiness on another person. And isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to do that? That God is giving us an opportunity to lift up our head and look at Him for our source of security and joy. And to maybe that's what this time can be about for you this year. To prepare your hearts, to ask yourself, am I putting too much on somebody else to be responsible for my joy and my security that I can only get from God? You can absolutely treasure the memory of loved ones, but we can also realize that God wants to use this time to prepare us for so much more. What is it that He has for you right now? Whatever time God has you in, whether it's a time of grieving or of joy, of really being thankful for what He's blessed you with, whatever time He has, this is a time of preparation for the next step that He has in your life. I was talking with someone recently who's going through a really difficult time. And they're reflecting on a lot of things, a lot of regrets that they have, a lot of things that they wish they could have done differently. And it's very tempting and very easy to just kind of completely get overwhelmed by that. Completely just focus on all the things that you wish you hadn't done. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, Paul is speaking and he says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. I know this. I know this. You've heard, most of you have heard my story. And I'll tell you what, when I was at that lowest point, and it was either suicide because I had yet to be able to figure out and get it right, and I had all these regrets, and I had all these things that I knew I had chosen a path that was my own path. I had tried to do things my way because I didn't want to wait for him. And it was at the same time I realized I had a choice. I could look to God. And to this day, as difficult a time as that was in my life, I am so thankful for it. There's no regrets now because I know that God has used it in my life for so many different reasons. Godly sorrow brings repentance. Repentance means you turn around and you go the other way. You don't keep doing the things your own way. You don't keep doing the things you want to do when you want to do them. You realize there's a different way. Repentance means saying, I am so sorry, Lord. I am so sorry that I didn't listen to you. I want to listen now. And I'm going to do it even when it's difficult. And I'm going to do it even when I don't understand why. And I'm going to do it even when I'm impatient and I want things to happen now. Right? Repentance means you turn the other way. And it leaves no regret. But leads to salvation. The other way leads to death. Literally, oftentimes. It's your choice. Which do you want to partner with? Your way that's gotten you so far, or his way? What will it take for you to recognize the need that you have in your life? You know, God, this is the other big lesson in this, I think. As you think about Zechariah and Elizabeth and what they must have gone through as they were trying so hard to trust God in the process, right? And maybe accept the fact that it was never going to be. Here's the other big lesson, I think. Do not despise the times of struggle. Do not despise the times of waiting. Do not despise the things that you don't understand. Rather, turn and say, okay, God, use this in my life. Use it to prepare me. Help me to keep my focus on you, Lord, because you can do that. You can use it in my life. Preparation always involves a struggle of some sort. Always. As God prepares our heart during this season for the light of Christ, how about during our lives for the light of Christ to come in? We first have to realize we have a need. And it's often not until we're going through those struggles, it's often not until we're asking God why, that we realize we have such a need. Certainly that was the case for me. I thought I could figure it out all on my own. I had a much better plan than God did. I certainly wouldn't have been up here. If there is no need, we're just fine on our own. We're just fine letting the life of another person fill our need. We're just fine letting our work be our source of identity. We're just fine letting our money satisfy our wants and desires, we think. But it always comes to a point where we realize that doesn't satisfy. It never satisfies. What will it take for you to recognize your need? This baby that Zechariah is told he will finally have will be known as John the Baptist, whose entire role in life was to remind people of their need for a Savior. That was his entire role in life. To remind people of their need to repent and turn towards God. That the beginning of the kingdom of God was near and they needed to recognize it. They needed to make some changes. And you might be in this place and time where you've already recognized God, where you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and now will come a time of testing, a time of seeing how far those roots go. How much do you trust Him? This life we're living here right now isn't meant to be just for us and for our enjoyment, as much as our culture wants us to think that that's true. You need to be happy. You need to have this. You need to do that. If you're in a relationship that you don't want to be in, you should just leave it. Leave that marriage commitment. Go and be happy. Who said, you know, this life is too short? You need to be happy. If you didn't get a chance to listen to Jim's message last week, I would really encourage you to listen to it. This life is meant to be an adventure with God. And that adventure sometimes comes with a lot of tension, a lot of struggle. It's not safe. But God's adventure for us is always good. Always good. And that message was so, I didn't get to hear it until midway through the week because I was back watching the kids. It's a really good message. How are you preparing your life right now for all He has for you? We think we know the plans. Sometimes there comes a point in our life, we think we've got it. We think we know God's spoken to us. This is supposed to happen. And then it doesn't happen. Well, guaranteed, that's because you're in a time of preparation. Doesn't mean you haven't heard from God. Just means He has to teach you more about the fruit of His Spirit while you're waiting. Even this account of Zechariah and Elizabeth is actually a preface for the preparation for the story of Jesus' birth. When you think about it, N.T. Wright had this really neat comment. He says, it's almost as if God knew that He had to prepare our minds and our hearts for the story of Jesus. It's remarkable that in the midst, think about this, in the midst of God doing this most important thing He was ever going to do, bring the Savior of the world, right? In the midst of doing this really big thing, He doesn't forget about Zechariah and Elizabeth and their prayers. God will be God in the big things and at the same time take care of the prayers of our smaller human concerns as well. Isn't that amazing that God can do that? He doesn't just do these big things. He satisfies the desires of our hearts in the process. Will we trust Him in that? And that's why I think we don't need to worry as we prepare for the third thing that I think Jesus, God, has this time period for us. We don't need to worry even as we prepare for the return of Jesus. You know, we don't spend a lot of time talking about it, but the Bible teaches that Jesus will return, right? We talk sometimes about heaven and how we don't want to, you know, this life we're living isn't all about waiting till we go to heaven. But Jesus is going to return. And what the Bible teaches us and what God says is don't worry about the time or the place, but be ready. Be prepared. That's our job during this time, to be ready, to be about His business, to be preparing ourselves. Are we preparing ourselves? Or are we just doing our own thing, saying, I asked Jesus into my life, I'm good. Are we going through the religious motions? Are we just showing up at church? Do we want church to be a certain way? And when it's not, we're disappointed and we think, oh, we need to find another church. Are we preparing ourselves? Or are we just now all of a sudden going through the motions like some of the people in Zechariah's day were doing? Some of those Pharisees and Sadducees, they were just being religious. They didn't even remember why they were doing what they were doing. Please, Lord, don't let that be us as we wait for Jesus to return. If you've been on this journey with the Lord for any period of time, you understand that there is, we are in this time of waiting. You've heard this term. There's this tension between the now and the not yet, right? That we live in this time between when Jesus first came and the kingdom of God broke in and things began to happen. And now we're waiting through that time period when Jesus will return. And when Jesus returns, there will be no more suffering. There will be no more evil. Jesus will put an end to it once and for all. But in the meantime, we live in this time when, yes, God breaks in and there are some amazing things that happen, but there's also still evil in the world. And crap happens that doesn't make any sense to us. Whatever that is. It's a game. Go, Caleb. But we live in this tension. Like Zechariah, where we have to choose staying the course, even when things haven't turned out. He can listen to his game. That's okay. Don't go far. But it also means not doing things out of that religious attitude. When things don't turn out the way you think they should, don't say, well, I'm just going to turn my back on God because he clearly doesn't understand my needs. He clearly doesn't care about me. No, be faithful. Trust him. He has a plan. He has a preparation time for you right now while you're waiting. There's this tendency that we all have to become discontent. And we want to force things when we become uncomfortable. We try to force things into a certain way. We think we know, so we do it. It was interesting. About a year and a half ago, Larry, I think maybe it was, you came up to Jim and I after the service and you said, "I think I have a word." And you told Jim and I that you felt the people were getting discontented. And I think Jim and I looked at each other and we were like, And you said that you felt the Lord had showed you that it was just like the people coming out of Egypt and were wandering around in the desert becoming discontented. Do you remember that word? And, you know, it's just very typical. When things don't go the way we think they're going to go, who'd have thought that 3 years after we left that building, we would still not have a building of our own. It's easy to get discontented. It's easy to think, ugh, you know, this must have been the wrong way out. I mean, look at the Israelites. They certainly thought that. It's easy to get discontented. It's easy to become, you know, we start turning inward and start kind of yipping at each other and not having that sense that God is preparing us. Let's be faithful. Let's continue to do what he's called us to do and see what he has and not determine what our timing is. Will we focus on what God is doing, or will we focus on what we expected God to do? And I know this might be tough right now, Crystal, but I would love for you to come back in because I would like you to come up. And Nancy, I know I haven't warned you about this, but Nancy, is Ruth here today? Yep. Ruth, where are you? Ruth, I'd like you to come up. Come on up here. I want to share with you how God is moving. Come on up here. It won't be, I promise, I won't be. There are some things going on in people's lives that you need to understand how, and maybe for the first time they've understood what he's, come on right up here with me. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions about what God has been doing in your life and how he has prepared you for this time. When you came to Alpha, Ruth, I think maybe the best way to say it is you were being obedient. You were coming. It was your second time. Come on, I'm not going to bite you. It was your second time through, and you felt God had more for you. Yes?
Yes.
And what do you think He had for you?
Well, let's see. First, you know, it's kind of hard, you know, to you want to wonder if there's somebody out there that's going to help you. And my thing was when they started praying for me, I started asking God, you know, to help me and make it through certain things that I had, a lot of things, problems. But, I mean, like I said before, you know, when you ask God for something and you think He's not listening, you got to talk back to Him. You got to say, hey, you know, here I am. You know, talk to me. You know, help me. You know, and that's, to me, that was, I just felt better. I was calm, you know, asking for forgiveness, you know, for things that you do when you're younger and you do dumb things. And you forgive people when they've hurt you, you know. So if God, if you think God's not listening to you, He is. But that's how I feel about it. You know, so that's
that was
just
the
me.
Biggest thing. For
and I don't like talking in front of people.
Here. Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, I said,
Ruth,
it is,
Ruth came. Ruth came with that expectation that God wanted to do more, that He wanted to free her from some of the things and the feelings
we
she had had.
Problems.
We all have problems. None of us don't. And you were faithful to say, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm going to do this. So that was your part of the preparation. Come here, Nancy. Now, you came in very open, I would say, because there had been some significant things that God had kind of touched you with, even before you came to Alpha. And one of the things that I loved about Nancy was that she came expecting. And I don't know that you got all your questions answered. We mostly don't. But something happened the night of the healing night because of your preparation. What happened?
Well, we had the healing night. I'd had a headache for like 2 weeks. I mean, nothing helped. And when they put their hands on me, I could feel the warmth going into my head, and I actually received healing. And I didn't really believe that before, and I totally 100% believe. I didn't know that other people could heal us. I thought that had to come from God. And you can heal other people. I totally 100% believe it. I'm happy. I'm not mad at anybody. I hold no grudges. I totally 100% believe in God's power, and it's enriched my life, and I'm very thankful for this church and for Nancy and Jim and everybody else. It's been a wonderful experience for me for the rest of my life.
And part of your preparation for what God has for you going forward, yes? Give Nancy an applause here. Okay. Now, I'm using, sorry, I'm probably messing you up with this microphone, aren't I? You came in angry. Mm-hmm. You want to share a little bit, in a nutshell, what God did with your honesty?
I just came in with, I think I shared a little bit before, I just came in with questions. They asked me why I came to Alpha, and I came saying, I had questions. I heard you can get questions answered as to why God, you know, I wanted to know why healing hasn't come to my son. I wanted the hard questions answered, and I wanted to grow closer to God. So I came in first time digging deep, and I think that those are the questions that I had. And once I came to that first time, and I really pressed into God, and there was some hard things that transformed from other people that I left. You know, I'm like, well, why did some people say that? And then I went home, and it bothered me the drive home. I was like, well, why? I just didn't understand why some things were said, and I just felt like God was surrounding me on my drive home, and I cried. I was mad. I was furious. I'm like, why is this happening? And I went home. You know, and some people, you know, they ask me, when did things change for me? And it was that day one for me. Things started happening that I didn't realize would even happen. And God met me day one from Alpha. And my life has seriously changed from day one. And I'm very thankful for that. And I don't know. I'm just
That's it. That's what it. I wanted to share. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
It was Crystal's honesty. It was her ability to say, I'm angry. I don't get why my son hasn't been healed yet. He's done nothing wrong. It was her honesty that allowed God to break through and allowed her to begin this time where God just began to show her some amazing things. And I think maybe give you a sense of part of your purpose in His kingdom today. Each one of everybody, Jimmy, you know, there were it was a small alpha, but it was impactful. It was a wonderful alpha. God has a plan for you right now. Worship team, if you could come on up. There is nothing that He can't do with the time, whatever time you find yourself in right now. Consider it a time of preparation. Do not despise the struggles, no matter how difficult you feel they are right now. Do not despise the troubles. John 12:46 said, Jesus said, I have come to be a light to this world so that anyone who believes in me will no longer have to live in darkness. I think He wants to open up our eyes to all that this season has for us. Amen.
And unfortunately, I have something else to say too. So, not unfortunately, but everybody knows Cullen's talk too much. Anyways, this is just semantics. I know this is what Nancy meant when she was talking about the healing, but she said, I thought only God healed and not people when they put your hands on you and stuff. And I know she knows that, but sort of the way it came out, if you're somebody that's never experienced that, I want to let you know it is God who heals, not us. But He can operate through us. We're like the little connector. He's the power source, and we're the wire that plugged into the wall, and then the other end turns on the thing that it turns on. So it's God moving through us that heals people. And so at the end of the service, as always, we always have a prayer available over there. So whether your pain is emotional, psychological, physical, healing is available, and God is alive and well, as you heard there, and as you've probably heard stories from other people. So don't just say, well, it's never me, you know. It can be you. We're in the now, not yet. Not everybody gets healed all the time, but you should still go for prayer because today could be your day. So don't hesitate. And anything else, not just healing.
I want to say something.
Sure, why not?
Might as well, really. Like AA. Just kidding. I just wanted to throw this out there. We were struggling financially for a while there, And the first thing that is so human of us is that we just, how can we figure this out ourselves? How can we do this ourselves? Like, it's never, oh, we better pray about it. I mean, that's my first thing is like, how do I fix it? Because I'm a fixer. And I talked to my friend, and she's like, we need to go get you groceries. Let's go get you groceries. So we went to the grocery store, and she was just talking to me a little bit, and she's like, you know what? I feel like we need to do a prophetic declaration over your finances, like you and Dave, and just proclaim it. And I it's hard to explain, but basically it's trusting God with everything that you have, and realizing that it's not about you, and God can do whatever He wants in your life, and just giving it all, that everything that you have inside of you, and expecting return. Because He loves us. He doesn't want us to sit here poor and penniless and scraping by. He doesn't want that for us. Like, He wants you to live wealthy and give, be able to give back and love people. And, you know, my friend and I went out to the pier, and we held hands, and she prayed over me, and she said, I'm going to give you some change. We took all the change that we had out of our purses, and we were both saying this prayer together that in the name of Jesus, we just speak breakthrough on our finances. And we screamed it as loud as we could, and I speak to breakthrough over our finances, and we tossed all the money into the lake, and I told my husband that. He was like, what? Why would you do that? We could use Coinstar. I'm just kidding. So anyways, we did that, and like, no joke, within like the next day, we got, my husband did an estimate on a tree, and this lady wanted to pay me. He said, I do free estimates, you don't have to pay me. We get like a check in the mail for $175 from this lady that like just wanted to bless us with this money. And then job after job after job after job just keeps coming in for him. Now granted, he has to do all the work. I help drag brush, but he's like doing trees like crazy. And all this money just keeps pouring in. And I'm like, oh my God, like, it's amazing that like, I didn't even believe it. I was like, yeah, we'll pray. We'll throw the money. That's cool. But to see that, like, all these people are, like, calling him, like, really? Like, how do you even know this person? And it's just, like, God is just breaking through financially because we gave it to him. We're like, I'm not worrying about this anymore. I'm not going to live in the now. I'm going to live in the future. Like, what do you have for me, God? I'm going to trust you with my future. So I just want to put that out there, you guys. It might sound crazy, but if you're struggling with sickness, pray over that. Breakthrough in your body, breakthrough in your life, breakthrough in your finances, and just give it to him and just see what he does. See what he does and really, really trust him. Just let it go. Because we're not going to be able to give it to him if we're holding on to it with everything in us. We're not going to be able to do anything if we're fixers and we have to fix it ourselves. God wants to fix it. He wants to take it and fix it. He's waiting for you to just give it to him and fix it. You know? That's all I got. I'm sorry.